Thank you for joining us for this Repertoire podcast. And now, your host, Scott Adams.
Hi, everybody. This is Scott Adams with Repertoire Magazine. As we are heading into respiratory season, flu season, strep season, RSV, I wanted to get Dr. Slavin back on the call. I'm very thankful, first and foremost, to Sekisui Diagnostics for being the sponsor of this podcast as we're moving into this season. Dr. Slavin gives some real-world ideas and thoughts as he's seeing it from a physician in a practice that I think if you can stick with the whole podcast, that here at the end, he gives you four or five key points of things you can take back and put into play with your physicians that you're calling on. So again, Dr. Slavin is with Touchpoint Pediatrics in Chatham, New Jersey. And we're talking about accurately diagnosing infections during respiratory season, whether that's COVID, whether that's flu or strep or RSV. And again, thank you so much to our sponsor, Sekisui Diagnostic. Hello, everybody. I'm here with Dr. Slavin. Dr. Slavin, thank you so much for being on the podcast with me today. It's been a few months since we talked, and as we're about to head into respiratory season here, we wanted to get an update from someone right on the front lines. So thank you for spending a few minutes with me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again, Scott. Good to talk to you again.
Absolutely. I'm gonna jump right into the questions. And just for the audience, the main audience that we're going to be talking to with or about or to today is the distribution sales rep audience that are selling into physician offices, long-term care, nursing homes, hospitals, et cetera, et cetera. But also I think we'll probably get some providers that listen to this just because our audience is based out of both. And a lot of times when we do these podcasts, they tend to jump swim lanes. So I'm assuming there'll be quite a few providers that listen to this too. But anyhow, Dr. Slavin, I'm going to start here with the first question. So, you know, let's start with, you know, what are you seeing in your practice currently now that the pandemic is kind of, I say it's died down, but you know, with the variant, you know, it's kind of peeking its ugly head again, you know, and people are kind of going back to normal activities. Children are going back to school, some masks, some unmasked. Are you seeing cases of flu yet or strep or any other infections?
So, you know, it's been a really, you know, interesting year to say the least. The last we spoke was we were sort of heading into the winter months last year, which we a lot of us, you know, on the front lines expected to be sort of a, you know, what we were expecting for what we call a twindemic. You know, we were expecting to see a lot of COVID and a lot of flu like we usually would see in the winter. But, you know, as your listeners probably know, you know, we saw many cases of COVID over this past winter of 2020-21. But throughout the country, there was virtually no flu at all. And, you know, there's probably several different reasons for that. Some of it was all the, you know, the precautions that most of the country was taking against COVID itself probably sort of stopped flu in its tracks, combination of the social distancing, the masking, the fact that many schools were not fully open like usual, people weren't traveling as much as usual. And, you know, also there's another theory among epidemiologists that what we call the viral replacement theory. When one virus is circulating widely through the community, sometimes it can push out other viruses that we would have normally seen. So I think for all those factors, that was why this past winter, we saw very little, you know, regular winter viruses, including flu, very, very little flu this past winter. So now, you know, now we're in early August, and, you know, up until a couple of weeks ago, I would have said, you know, the COVID rates were dropping dramatically, which was great. We were seeing very, very little COVID the last few months. You know, now the last couple of weeks with the, you know, the rise of the Delta variant in many parts of the country, we're seeing, you know, somewhat of an uptick of COVID cases, still not nearly as high as they were last winter, thankfully, and hopefully if this will die down soon. But what we are seeing, you know, interestingly, you know, as the world is sort of opening up again, you know, and kids are getting back to camp, kids got back to school in person late in the spring, what we're seeing is all the viruses that we usually would have seen this past winter, not so much the flu, but other viruses like, you know, RSV, you know, parrot influenza viruses, respiratory adenoviruses, all these viruses that we usually would have seen in this past winter, which we really didn't, we're seeing now in the summer. So I'm seeing more sort of just regular winter children's viruses that we usually see in the winter. I'm seeing them now in the summer. That's kind of what we're seeing now.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that. And to your point, hopefully this little spike in the Delta variant that we're seeing will dissipate just like it did, you know, in India and the UK, kind of as fast as it showed up, it disappeared.
Yes.
But as we move into fall and winter, it's real interesting to hear you talk about these other viruses kind of rearing their ugly head. How are you preparing for that in anticipation for what this coming season could bring?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Well, if there's one thing we've learned, you know, in the past year, it's sort of to expect the unexpected. You know, this past season threw a monkey wrench into the normal seasonality of all these viruses that we usually see. So, you know, normally in a normal winter, we expect the normal influenza season to start in November or December. But, you know, this year, I think it's very reasonable to think that we might see the flu presenting itself earlier this year, earlier than that normal expected arrival time, just as we're seeing these other respiratory diseases sort of out of season. And, you know, of course, as always, it's important to identify cases of flu, you know, once it starts appearing in the community, for two reasons mainly. Number one, to offer the option of anti-flu medicine, such as Tamiflu, you know, in certain cases, such as the very young or, you know, patients with other high-risk conditions such as asthma, because we know that rapid treatment of the flu with antiviral medicines can make the disease course milder in high-risk patients. So it's important for that reason. But also number two, and this goes back to the point that you and I had discussed, Scott, last year on the podcast, is that, you know, in the case of trying to identify viruses as, you know, COVID versus non-COVID, if we have a highly specific rapid flu test in the office, which these lateral flow tests really are, if we can identify an illness as flu with confidence, then we could be reasonably confident that it's not COVID and presumably get these kids, you know, back to school and back into the community a little bit faster, you know, safely. So those are two reasons that, you know, rapid flu testing will be important as we head into flu season. So
To interrupt you. Go ahead, Doc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just going to say, the other point I would say about possibly this year's flu season, you know, we're heading into fall and winter, and since we really had very little of a flu season last winter, you know, I would argue that many children who ordinarily would have had at least some partial immunity to the flu due to previous exposure over the past winter will really not have that benefit this winter. So it's, you know, definitely possible that this upcoming winter we might be hit with a more severe flu season than usual.
Yeah, it's interesting. I remember in our conversation before you talking about, hey, if we can, you know, at least rule out that it or determine that it is flu,
then we
obviously can pretty much rule out that it's COVID. I think that's such a key component. And I always, at this time of year, we tend to write about it a lot and talk about it a lot on podcasts. It's for the distribution reps to make sure that they're getting their practices prepared for the season. You know, make sure you have your rapid tests on hand and that you're getting your docs set up with the things that they're going to need for the respiratory season. Speaking of that, you know, last year we saw a lot of telehealth during the pandemic where patients weren't coming in. You know, what are your thoughts on continuing that approach, or is it wise, or do you foresee encouraging patients to start coming back into the practice? They need to see their physicians.
You know, it's a really good question because, yeah, one effect of, you know, among many effects of the COVID pandemic, but one effect on healthcare, it was, you know, obviously the widespread adoption of telehealth technology for assessing sick patients. And, you know, I think my point of view on that is, you know, I think that certainly might have been a necessity at the height of the COVID pandemic in order to limit the exposure of medical offices to the virus itself. But realistically, you know, on the front lines, it really is, you know, telehealth visits, even though they might be more convenient in some ways, it really is far from an ideal way to evaluate a sick patient. And there's, you know, a couple of reasons for that. Number one, you know, obviously with a telehealth visit, you know, doctor can't do any hands-on examination. And a lot of times it's important to be able to listen to the child's chest, you know, to look in the child's ears to really get a sense of what's going on. But otherwise, the other issue is, you know, if you're not evaluating the patient in person, we don't have the ability to do targeted testing for you know, viruses and strep that we really need to identify to deliver optimal healthcare. You know, in many cases, getting a definitive answer is very important. And without being able to do a hands-on examination and specific, you know, pathogen testing, a lot of doctors, you know, over telehealth just need to use a best guess to diagnose patients, and that's not always optimal. for examples, like say I see a child with a fever and a sore throat, and as one example. So, you know, if the child comes to me with fever and sore throat without any obvious viral symptoms, if say a child does not have a runny nose or cough, nothing to, you know, to really suggest that it's a clear virus, one of the things that we have to rule out always is strep throat.
Right.
And with strep throat, it's really important to get the diagnosis right, because if it is strep, you don't want to miss it, because if it's strep throat is not treated, number one, the child will, you know, remain sick for longer, number one. But more importantly, untreated strep throat comes with the risk of rheumatic fever, you know, weeks later, which can cause permanent heart damage in some cases. So it really is important to accurately diagnose strep. And on the other hand, if strep can be ruled out, if we know it's not strep throat, then we can avoid unnecessarily treating that child with antibiotics, which has, you know, which has risks of its own, such as, you know, causing antimicrobial resistance in the community. So it really is important to be able to see these kids in person to get that diagnosis right. And that's just one example. That's just strep throat. But, you know, similarly, if I see a child who presents with symptoms that might be consistent with the flu, such as fever, body aches, and cough, you know, if we can confirm the diagnosis of flu specifically, then, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we can treat that child with antivirals if necessary, especially if the child is high risk. But also more importantly, just as importantly, I should say, we know not to prescribe antibiotics for that. And, you know, the risk of prescribing antibiotics unnecessarily, number one, it won't treat the flu, but also it does contribute to, antibiotic resistance. So, you know, as a doctor, I do believe that an in-person evaluation of a child really is always preferable to a telehealth evaluation. So, you know, I think a lot of patients might have gotten comfortable with the convenience of these telehealth visits, but I do worry that this trend can lead to problems if we're not careful. You know, it's, you know, honestly, the COVID pandemic has done so much harm to our society as it is in so many ways. It would be a shame if the problem of antimicrobial resistance becomes yet another legacy of this pandemic. And so I do worry about that a little bit. So I do think that, you know, appropriate in-person evaluation with point of care testing when appropriate, such as, you know, rapid lateral flow, strep and flu tests, is really the best way to diagnose and treat kids' illnesses correctly.
Yeah, I would think parents out there would love to hear you say that as well. I'm sure after, you know, 18 months of not being able to get their children in to see a physician, not that they haven't been able to for a full 18 months, but I'm sure they like mm-hmm. to, if it's my child, I want to take them to the doctor. I don't want it done over a computer screen necessarily. If it's absolutely necessary, I totally get it. I think on that podcast that we did in the winter, I mentioned, you know, when the doctor saw me when I went in for COVID, he immediately is like, oh, you got strep throat. And ran a strep test on me. And, you know, 24, 48 hours later, he called and he goes, hey, it's not strep. You have COVID, but at least he was able to rule out. But I mean, he looked at my throat and he was immediately like, oh, you got strep.
It's not always that obvious though, just by looking. Right.
Exactly.
Testing is super important in those cases.
100%. Yeah. So as we close here, I'd like to just ask you this one last question. You know, what's your advice to distribution sales reps? You know, what are some key points that they need to take away and relay back to their physician offices and surgery centers and the different places that they're calling on a regular basis?
Sure. All right. I would say the first thing I would say is for the sales reps, you should really be proactive in talking about respiratory testing with doctors. And, you know, even though the volume of tests ordered, you know, over the past, you know, 6 to 12 months may not have been super high because of lack of flu tests this past winter, this coming winter very likely will be very different, might be back to normal or even busier than normal. So for the sales reps, I would recommend starting early and plan ahead, you know, and expect the unexpected. And, you know, that's the lesson we've learned from the past year. And that makes planning and preparation really key. The second thing I would say is that, you know, the sales reps should know that, you know, correctly identifying an illness as flu versus strep versus COVID is really important to doctors, as there's different courses of treatment and precautions and quarantine, you know, for each of these illnesses. And that's why rapid testing in the office is so valuable. And, you know, a third thing I would say is that, you know, as we said earlier, relying on telehealth, you know, is not really conducive to accurate diagnosis and treatment, as, you know, in many cases, you really can't get a definitive answer. That's why in-person evaluation and testing is so important. And the, you know, the final point I would say is that, you know, healthcare professionals really need to be careful that we don't create bigger problems like antimicrobial resistance, you know, with over-prescribing antibiotics as a result of the pandemic and over-reliance on telehealth.
Yeah, I know the distribution sales folks out there definitely want more face-to-face visits. It obviously helps their livelihood, but it also is better patient care all the way around. So I'm so thankful for you being on the call with me today, and you always have a wealth of knowledge. I look forward to doing many more of these podcasts with you in the coming months and years. And take care of yourself, and good luck as we go into respiratory season.
Thank you so much, Scott. It's been a pleasure, as always. Thank you.
Absolutely. You have a great day. Wow. Every time I get off of a call with him, I take away some great stuff. I had forgotten what he said last year about if you can kind of isolate it to its strep or its flu, you can pretty much say, okay, it's not COVID. And just such good points to take back. I love the fact that he stated we need to get back to in-person doctor office visits. I know you guys as distribution folks are wanting to get patients back in, not just for yourselves, but also for better patient care and taking care of those folks. I highly encourage you, if you haven't reached out to our sponsor recently, the Sekisui Diagnostic folks, they'd be happy to jump in the car with you, go do some face-to-face sales calls, do some Zoom calls with you, to help get your practices ready for respiratory season as we start to head into it. It sounds like from Dr. Slavin that we are in for maybe a pretty heavy season. Hopefully not, but as we get back into school, I know here in Georgia, we just started back to school this week. So we're going to start to see stuff popping up like we do this time every year. I appreciate every one of you who are listening to the podcast. We have some more coming out in the coming days and weeks. In fact, I'm recording two or three more today. So be looking for those. If you have anything you want me to cover or you want us to talk about on the Repertoire Podcast, please let me know at sadams@sharemovingmedia.com. sadams@sharemovingmedia.com. Always looking for new topics, always looking for new folks to interview. And you guys, good luck selling out there.